In New York today, jurors resumed deliberations in the embassy bombings case. Deliberations have stretched out over 11 days. Jurors have to decide unanimously on 302 separate counts against the four defendants accused of conspiring to bomb two U.S. embassies in East Africa in 1998. 224 people were killed in those explosions. NPR's Melissa Block has been covering the trial. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
What's taking so long to reach a verdict?
Well, they have a lot of work to do. They have a 61-page verdict sheet to fill out, and a lot of the questions have multiple parts. So if they're voting to convict, they could have to answer about 1,000 separate questions. Here's how the verdict sheet is structured. There are four broad conspiracy counts at the start, which are that the defendants conspired to murder U.S. nationals and to bomb the embassies. Then there are substantive bombing counts, murder counts for each of the 224 victims, weapons charges, and finally perjury charges against one of the defendants who's charged with lying before a grand jury. They seem to be going about it very methodically. They're extremely well organized. They've sent out a lot of notes asking for exhibits and for testimony to be read back. And they've had a number of detailed questions on the law, which some of them have even impressed the judge, U.S. District Judge Leonard Sand in this case.
This is a capital case for two of the defendants. Could that be affecting the jury's deliberations?
Well, it's not supposed to. They were instructed not to consider punishment in this guilt phase of the trial. But if they do convict, then the same jurors would have to decide punishment in a separate phase of the trial. They would decide whether these two defendants would be executed or not. And they know that. They were questioned about their views on the death penalty back in January during jury selection. And it wouldn't be surprising if the ramifications of this trial or if their decision would be coloring their deliberations and making them especially conscientious in how they're going about their task.
Well, if there are guilty verdicts and this does move on to a penalty phase, what are the strategies of the defense?
There would be two separate penalty phases, one for each of the two defendants if they were convicted, and the strategies are very different. First, Khalfan Khamis Mohammed, who's accused of helping to blow up the embassy in Tanzania, his lawyer plans to argue that he was a minor participant and not a leader of the conspiracy. Also, that if he were executed, his death could be exploited to justify future terrorist attacks. And then just yesterday, South Africa's highest court complicated things. They ruled that KK Mohammed was unlawfully handed over to U.S. authorities after he was arrested in South Africa back in 1999. What they said was that South Africa failed to get assurance that Mohammed would not be sentenced to death if he were convicted. South Africa itself has abolished capital punishment. So Mohammed's lawyers are studying that ruling. They're weighing their options. I'm told that it shouldn't affect deliberations in this phase of the trial, but if it does go on to a guilt phase, it could really have some effect there, and it's an open question what that effect would be. As for the other defendant, Mohammed Alawali, he's accused of helping blow up the embassy in Nairobi. His lawyers want to present a different argument, that the United States is engaged in what they call genocide and terrorist activity against Iraq, and that Alawali acted out of what they're calling a sincere religious belief that the bombing would help stop those actions against Iraq. Again, unclear whether the judge would allow those arguments to be made during a penalty phase.
Sounds like the case won't be over when the trial is.
No, it won't. There are two more defendants in custody here awaiting trial, three in Britain awaiting extradition, and 13 fugitives, including Osama bin Laden, who's accused of leading this conspiracy. He's on the FBI's 10 most wanted list, and he's believed to be living in Afghanistan.
NPR's Melissa Block in New York.